God's word together. Today our passage is taken from Luke chapter 24. This is the last passage in the Gospel of Luke. But the story doesn't end there. For if you read on two books from the Gospel of Luke, you will find that Luke continued his story of the power and also of the identity of the Lord Jesus in the book of Acts. Today, as we celebrate the Lord's table, I want to issue an invitation to us all again, the church, to renew our desire and commitment to be witnesses for the Lord. And we're going to be reading, starting at verse 44. We're going to read it responsively. Use whatever language that's comfortable to you. I'm going to read the first verse, and I would ask you to respond with the next verse. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. He, that is Jesus, said to them, the disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Let's read 47 altogether then. "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Continue. "You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. May God bless our time as we look into his words. For Luke, the account of the ascension is the last line of the Jesus story. This is where his gospel story ends. Do you know that the idea of ascension of Christ is not very popular today? In fact, it is counterculture. No wonder that some Bible teachers would acknowledge that they seriously have problem with a passage such as the ascension of Jesus Christ. For to them it is a strange passage. It is also one that is very uncomfortable. For how do you explain, how do you apply the ascension story, the passage of Jesus' life? Was the ascension a literal event, or was it the only way Luke could imagine Jesus' departure? And why didn't Luke, after all he was very knowledgeable and creative, just say that Jesus and his disciples reunited after his resurrection and they live happily ever after? Luke described the ascension account not once, but twice. First, in Luke's gospel, the ascension is of course an ending. As the disciples lovingly gaze at Jesus as he was taken up into heaven, right before their very eyes, perhaps the last part of Jesus' body they saw would be Jesus' feet. And maybe all of a sudden they realized that those feet that walked the dusty roads of Palestine will not walk the earth again. The feet so lovingly anointed just before the crucifixion would no longer be present on earth. This is goodbye from Jesus. The Jesus story in Luke's Gospels comes to an end. But Luke also mentioned the ascension of Christ a second time. This time, instead of at the very end of a book, it is at the beginning, very beginning of his next book, the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 9 to verse 11. In the book of Acts, somewhat similar, the ascension of Christ is the very beginning of another story, the story of the early church. The disciples are now doing the very things and teaching the very things that Jesus used to do and teach. Maybe putting the two accounts together, Luke is perhaps trying to tell us something very important about the ascension of Jesus, that it is both an ending and a beginning. Jesus' ascension speaks of his greatness, power, and authority in the world. This is what Paul explained to the people, to the believers in the church at Ephesus, that if you look at those verses, verses 19 to 23, basically Paul says that, you know, the great power from God is also, has also been given to the believers, to the church. You cannot compare this power with any power or authority or influence on earth. And it is only available to believers. It is a mighty power of God to raise Jesus from the dead. It is also the same power that positioned Jesus at the right hand of God, a place of prominence in the throne room of God. It is the same power that far above all rule, elevates him far above all rules and authority, power and dominion, and that every name should bow at the feet of Jesus. And that again, the same powers has enabled all things to be subject to Christ. For God has appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. In this account, we know that before Jesus was taken up into heaven, he repeated what he has been telling the disciples and us, that since the beginning of creation, according to the promises and the teachings in the Old Testament, Jesus is the very climax and culmination of God's plan of redemption, forgiveness, and salvation. And that every part of his life and ministry is the answer to Old Testament's promises and questions. It all comes down to this. Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior and Lord of the world. Jesus now leads his disciples towards Bethany. And there, as he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while he was doing that, he was parted from them. He was taken up and carried up into heaven. Jesus is now the victorious King. He is the Prince of Kings at the right hand of God the Father. He ascended into heaven as a conqueror. He is victorious over sins, hell, and death. And his victory is a believer's victory, for Jesus has conquered sins for us. And before Jesus was taken up, he told the disciple in verse 48, "Now it is up to you. You are my witnesses. You are going to be my witnesses." And shortly after that, he's gone. I don't know about you, but if I've been standing there among the disciples, looking up at the figure of Jesus getting smaller and smaller, disappearing into the clouds, perhaps one of my God's reactions would have been that, wait a minute, what did Jesus just say a little while ago? That he wanted me to be his witness? Probably I would be dumbfounded. How could Jesus expect so much of me to be his witness when I'm so helpless and clueless, when I'm so slow to understand, and when I offend him so very often? But we thank God that that isn't what the disciples did. Instead, what did they do in verse 52 and 53? They worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Between Easter morning and the ascension, those 40 days, something has happened to the disciples. They have become completely different believers. Those disciples of Jesus were scared out of their wits on Easter morning. And here, 40 days later, we find them worshiping Jesus with boldness, returning to Jerusalem, no longer imprisoned by their own fears. And they were in Jerusalem, praising God in the temple. They had already lost Jesus once on the cross. And we know that they were very sorrowful, and that was completely understandable. And now they are going to lose Jesus again a second time. But look at what happened to them Instead of becoming fearful and sorrowful, they rejoice. They had great joy. What happened to them in the meantime during those 40 days? During those 40 days, Jesus explained the scriptures to them again and again. They grew in understanding of Jesus, who he is, what he came to do, and what his future plans for the universe, including mankind, will be. They became witnesses of the Lord. They knew they have seen God in the person of Jesus. They no longer fear him, thinking that he was a ghost returning from death. They no longer doubt him. They trusted him with their lives. When Luke says that they worship Jesus as he ascended, he doesn't use the word worship lightly. In fact, if you look at the whole book, the whole Gospel of Luke, this is the only time in Luke's entire account when the disciples worship Jesus. Remember that these disciples were diligent and hardworking Jews. They knew their first commandments backwards and forwards. And so, in the teaching and instruction of Moses, I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. They knew that only God deserved their worship, their praise, their adoration. So when Luke says they worship Jesus, Luke is actually saying that the disciples finally knew Jesus is God, and they gave their lives to him. They responded with worship, obedience, courage, and adoration. Now for the disciples, the new understanding is that Jesus is God. And because they knew that Jesus is God, they had to rethink their identity as people who believe and follow the Lord Jesus. For now, they were completely convinced that not only did God have a plan of redemption and reconciliation through Jesus Christ, God has also given them, the believers, a part to play in their work of redemption. And so, they have to be committed to outreach, to mission, to spreading and sharing the message. For very clearly, Jesus has just told them, you are going to be my witnesses. You are going to show the world what you know to be true of me, that I am God. I have resurrected, and I will come again. But perhaps you would wonder, how can we be witnesses for Christ? After all, we don't have much power. We are slow to understand. If we depend on our own strength and plan, we would only be witnessing to ourselves, not Christ. But Jesus told his disciples that they would be empowered from on high. The mighty power of the Holy Spirit, verse 49. The same power that Luke ascribes to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit throughout his gospel account is now available to the church and to all believers. And so we see that power unfolding in the book of Acts. So brothers and sisters, we can rejoice because this is one of the central themes of ascension. Jesus has completed his work on earth, and he's telling us that we are his witnesses. It is now our turn. Jesus leaves, but not without reassuring and promising us that this is not the end, but the beginning. The beginning of sharing the message of his love and salvation with the world. Jesus calls us to be witnesses, his storytellers, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can tell people what God has done for us, what God has done for other people who put their lives in his care, that Jesus is the Son of God who calls to repentance and forgiveness of our sins. So therefore, we see that the disciples were emboldened. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they continue in the temple blessing and praising God. In that narrow band of time, lasting 40 days, the disciples have changed from fearful to bold witnesses. Like them, we are also called to bear witness to this good news. We are called to receive Jesus' blessing, the gift of life eternal. We are called to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. We are called to allow God to change us as he did the disciples. And we are called to worship Jesus, the only Son of the living God. We are called to be his witnesses, wherever we may be. So the ending is also the beginning. The ascension of Jesus is not something for the early disciples to simply stand there, gaze, marvel, and speculate. But the ascension account of the Lord Jesus is something to spur, to encourage, to motivate them to go about the work that Jesus has already begun. Because the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is to continue the presence, the love, and the work of the Lord in the world. In the word of a very wise saint, Jesus has no bodies now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Jesus has no body now on earth but yours. Being witnesses of God is as simple as that. We are his feet, we are his eyes, we are his hearts, we are his hands. The ascension of Jesus Christ marks the beginning for the believers to be ministers for the Lord, to be servants, to be storytellers, to be witnesses. At the highest point of the Mount of Olives, one of the sites claimed to be the place of the resurrection of Christ, now stands a hospital, Augusta Victoria Hospital. It is run and administered by the Lutheran World Federation. The hospital staff serves Palestinians who are living in the midst of the occupied territories. On one of its walls inside the chapel is a late 19th century mosaic picture depicting the ascension of Christ, with Jesus ascending into the clouds. And on Jesus' side are two angels in white. Now, what is notable about this particular depiction or picture is that the angels' eyes were not gazing at Jesus. They were not looking up at Jesus, but rather, they are directed towards the viewers, the lookers, the audience, the congregation, as if to ask, why do you stand looking up? Don't just stand there. Do something. Be his witnesses. Go, because the Lord has sent you, just as God has sent Jesus. It seems that from reading Luke's account, that the congregation, the early church, the disciples got it. They understood Jesus' message because they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They waited for the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that the best of the Jesus story is yet to come. Jesus is telling the early disciples, and he's telling us today, I am returning to the Father. I can't go on, but you must go on with help from the Holy Spirit, and I am with you always. So people of God, do not underestimate your faith and the role that God has given to the church to participate in the work of the kingdom. You and I are not just believers. We are also witnesses, storytellers of the love and the grace of Christ. At the Lord's table today, this is an excellent time for us as a church and also as individual believers to renew our faith in God, to let God know that we just heard you again, that we are your witnesses. And so enable us to be your feet, your hand, your eyes, your body on earth, until Jesus, you return gloriously to earth again. We're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. This is prayers of the people. And I'm going to ask us to pray. And I'll ask Celia to provide us with some music. Ask us to pray for our first item. That we would pray for myself, for yourself, to be faithful witness of God. That we would pray to God to make CCC always faithful witnesses of God. Do you know of a difficult person who has been refusing every opportunity that you try to share the gospel of Christ with him or her? You can start praying for that person. Are you a little bit discouraged? Having prayed for a person for a long time, you don't seem to see results. This is also a good time to renew that commitment. Or maybe you are not quite sure who you can share the story with. But ask God to show you one person. And God may lead you to more than one person. So let us pray. Let us ask God to make us faithful, joyful, and also empowered witnesses of Jesus here in Washington, D.C. and beyond. So let's come before the Lord. Father God, we ask that you would take away the limitations and the wisdom of man. But, O Lord, speak to us and help us to pray to you in a way that is pleasing. We also pray that you will remind us that Jesus is also praying with us and for us. Precious Father, we thank you that Jesus is the light of the world. We also thank you that you have given us the same high privilege to be called light of the world. And we pray, O Lord, that would shine your grace, your power, your forgiveness, your compassion in our lives, in the things that we say, do, and think. We know, O Lord, that it is a high privilege to be your ambassadors. But we also know that we are weak, helpless, clueless. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would give us your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the power, the wisdom, the boldness, the creativity, the perseverance, and the fruits of the Spirit from time to time. That, O Lord, especially when we are discouraged, especially when we don't seem to see results, we ask, O Lord, that you will make us very much aware that you are powerfully at work. Again, O Lord, we commit to you individuals who have yet to know the Lord Jesus. Help us to not stop thinking about them, praying for them, and loving them into the kingdom of Christ. We thank you, Father God, for doors that seem to be shut. We thank you because we know, O Lord, you have power to enter and go past those closed doors into the hearts of individuals and bring them to faith and joy in the Lord. Father, we pray that our church will be all about being your witnesses here and beyond. We pray, O Lord, that you will continue to shape this church so that all that we do, O Father God, reflects only one thing, that we know you, and that we're telling people about you. Thank you, O Lord, for listening to our prayers. Amen. We have two prayer items, and this is the second one. Let us give thanks to God for answering our prayers and providing us with a shepherd to come, Pastor Josh. Pray for Pastor Josh and the family as they make plans to tie up the loose ends in their current church. Also, as they make plans to move down to Washington, D.C., and also as they take time to rest, to prepare, and to recuperate a little bit. But pray not just for Pastor Josh and the family. Pray for our pastors. Pray for everyone in this church, literally everyone. For we work together under the leadership of the Lord Jesus. Pray that we, the leaders, whether pastors or not, we would walk humbly with God, we would obey the Lord, and that we would serve together as his servants, as his minister. Pray that with Pastor Josh, and that with many other people, willing hearts, willing feet, loving eyes, tender hearts in this church, God will again bring in one more new era in the history and also in the witness of CCC. So let's go into prayer and let's remember to thank the Lord. Gracious Father, again we want to give you thanks, for we know you are the Lord of the harvest and you will supply us workers according to your plans and timing. We thank you that during the years when we did not seem to have an associate pastor for the English ministry, yet God, you have been our shepherd. You have been our pastor for the whole church. And now that you have brought Pastor Josh to serve here at CCC, we not only want to thank you for your provision, but we also pray for your preparation, your protection, and your blessings of Pastor Josh and the family. Help them, Father God, to see you guiding them each step of the way. And that as you bring them here, equip us, Father God, and prepare us for one another to serve all together as a team under the Lord Jesus. Help us to submit to you, and because of that, to submit to one another. Help us to love you, and therefore love one another. Give us compassion, give us vision, give us the power of your Holy Spirit again, so that together, pastors, and with so many willing hands and hearts already serving in this body of Christ, we may yet, O Lord, experience another season of great, refreshing blessings. Father, we ask that you will bless us so that we can be a blessing to other people. We ask that you will bless us so that we will see those blessings and praise and adore you always. We ask that you will bless us, Father God, so that we have no excuse but to say, the Lord is here with us, and therefore all these graces and blessings are happening. And finally, Lord, we ask that you will bless us so that we know you are the leader, you are the shepherd, and you are the master of this household. All this we pray and giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, let us also ask God to help us and enable us to say, O Lord, speak, for hear your servant, your witness is listening.
Precious cross. I will first sing this in English and then second time in Putonghua. You may praise in any language you prefer. Let us remember what Jesus has done for us.
For me, when I'm again, you are right for me. message this morning, which spoke about being a witness of God. Pastor Charles' message is very appropriate to Communion Sunday, because communion is all about being a witness for God. It's a testimony. It's a preaching. Visibly, when we have visitors, a student, when we have a Communist Party member who works in the embassy in Washington, D.C. of China, when we have someone who's a visitor and whose telephone is ringing, they all witness the miracle of what Jesus Christ has done. And they are welcome, because we celebrate open communion in Chinese Community Church. It is open to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, who's a follower of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a member of this church. You have to have received Jesus Christ into your heart. And you're welcome to share in communion. It's a time of joy. It's a time where we recognize that we are a family of each other, but a greater community, the church worldwide. It's a time where we remember Jesus Christ together. And so I invite you this morning to say the words of confession with me. Merciful God, we confess that often we have failed to be an obedient church. We've not done your will. We've broken your law. We've rebelled against your love. We've not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good to give thanks, Almighty God, for you are the source of light and life. And called us to new life in Jesus Christ. In all times and place your people proclaim your glory and unending praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who came in the name of the Lord. Loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed through his blood, serving and reconciling all people to you. Remember your church scattered upon the face of the earth, gather it in unity and preserve it in truth. In communion with the saints and all creation, we worship and glorify you always. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. On the night before he died for us, Jesus took bread. Giving thanks, he broke the bread and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then, taking a cup, again he gave thanks, shared the cup with his disciples, and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The cup which we drink is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The cup which we bless is communion in the body of Christ. I invite the ushers to come forward. take the bread.